Welcome, welcome, one and all, to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. This is your weekly GAA roundup, and this week we have a lot to round up. It was hurling finals weekend, junior, intermediate and senior titles handed out at the O'Donnell Park at the weekend for Masters Buncrana and Burt, taking home the trophies. We're going to discuss that with Dara Boner of the Donegal News and County star Sean McVeigh shortly, all the action from O'Donnell Park. Then we're going to join up with John Gilday. John's going to run his eye over the fourth round draw in the senior championship and a couple of the big games that's in that. And then finally, we're going to speak with Michael McMullen around the vacancies in Ulster senior football management, notably Derry, of course, and Tyrone, of course, Monaghan, looking for a new manager as well. But first up, as I say, we're going to look at a huge day in club hurling in Donegal, and I'm joined by, as I say, Dara Boner of the Donegal News and Sean McVeigh. How are you, lads?
Hi, Brendan. Hi, Dara.
You're looking good, man. Looking fresh on the Monday. Hey, you didn't have anything hard last night. You were kept at bed early.
Bed early last night.
You
big celebrations.
I like this. This is precision sports technology. I love it. If anybody's watching this online, Sean, that suits you. Yeah, this backdrop. I like this. I must get one of them myself.
That's it. I have to at least pretend I'm in the gym anyway. Yeah, so get the
background. Oh, hey, listen, no better man. Tell me, fair play to you all in O'Donnell Park, you know, the facilities and the pitch. Sean, just before we get into the games and up yourself and Dara, just about the pitch. How vital is that? You know, we talk about, you know, the game of hurling and the, you know, having that type of surface to play on, Sean, and having that facility that is at O'Donnell Park.
Ah, yeah. Geez, the pitch was an unbelievable shape at the weekend. In fairness, the Vincent and Andy and all the lads did some job in getting it in shape. And in fairness, they always have it in tip-top shape. Like, there's a lot of pride that the lads have there in Donegal, bringing all the hurling games there, the county finals being played there. And it's just great. You know, you've seen even at the weekend, there was periods where the ball was let go on the ground and it's not getting caught up, and just makes for a good standard. You know, there's nothing, the ball's not getting caught up, as I say, and it's a fair play to the lads for getting ready, because it really was in great shape. And it was great to even see smaller things, like, you know, you had the pipe ban and stuff there at the weekend. So it really made for a great occasion all around.
Yeah, and this is on your heart and soul, you know, from in that hurling, you know, one of Donegal's me and me, and you're obviously a dual player. So just can you feel it, Sean? You know, football in the county, is it obviously the senior team you're involved in is getting better and better each year. You know, it's and now you see the club as well. You know, days like yesterday, that there's so much more importance coming with it, or Saturday.
100%, and you see that the fact that we've been playing at a higher level, at inter-county level, the last number of years. You see it filtering down to the club. You know, you have, you know, massive representation between the two senior clubs there yesterday on the county panel. You've seen it was played almost like an inter-county standard. But just even that, the crowds that were down there, the atmosphere that was there for all three games, you just see the standard rising across the board. And look, you had four Masters, I suppose, that won the junior title yesterday. That's another club getting a title that hadn't really won anything in a while. So, like, Donegal Hurling's in a really strong place, and hopefully it continues to grow.
Yeah. And Dara, just on that first game, the junior title, four Masters beating St Junans, you know, a brilliant first half, laying the foundations for that victory. I was just thinking about four Masters, as Sean was saying, that spread of hurling, you know, you look at it, it's been dominated by a few teams, but it's great to see a side, four Masters in that area, coming up and taking a title and obviously making strides at hurling.
Yeah, and just to add much on said there, even from that first game, the crowd in O'Donnell Park for Four Masters against St Mirren's was brilliant. Great to see. But yeah, I was speaking to Shane McNulty, one of the joint captains for Four Masters, after the game. He was saying that the boys from Ardra, Kelly Beggs, Four Masters, obviously, I think there might be about five different GA clubs represented with Four Masters there, and it's great to see. Like, I mean, I think it was their first final in 19 years as well, so it's good that is happening. Obviously, you have the likes of Dave Ritter down there as well, and Barry Shannon, and then of course the Inish Own teams, three of them in finals at the weekend, which shows it's just not coming from the two clubs as well.
Yeah, indeed. And on that game, Dara, obviously the Four Masters building a big lead. You know, in a final, you know, it's never going to be comfortable. As Unions did make a game of it. Second half, they come back into it. But, you know, particularly in the form that Quinn was up and fall forward, you know, it was going to be hard to get past him when he was playing that well.
Yeah, and just, I mean, he was lethal with his free takings. Every time he got a chance to put one over, it was, you know, nearly guaranteed. Even most of them were from outside his own 65 as well. It was, and a lot of them were to the side of the pitch as well. Just everything he touched just leak over the bar. It was some going from him, and gave Evans a lot to have to do in the second half. And the likes of Gavin Ford, a great game. And, a couple of other lads in that Evans team, but just, they couldn't call the clock back because he put them in such a happy league at half time.
Yeah, indeed. Sound quality is just a wee bit poor there, Dara. We'll try and pump you up a wee bit here, maybe from this side. Hey, Joe Dex is here as ever, producing, keeping me right. Hey, he'll work some magic here in the background. Sean, just on it, you know, you always, every time I see a club doing well, I automatically think County then. You know, is it a huge jump for someone like a Four Masters to be able to be in the mix of trying to get into a County squad? Would that be a massive thing for them? In terms of producing somebody that could get in to just, I suppose, inspire the next generation along with winning that title?
I don't think so, Brendan, to be honest. I mean, we've seen you know, a number of players from Dunloe come up to the county squad over the last number of years and really push and get starting game time. So I don't think it's a massive jump, but I think that really should be the goal of all those clubs and even like county setups, to bring these lads into the setup to see the standards, to get used to the pace, the hurling at that level, because all that will happen is then they'll bring it back to the clubs, and then hopefully that filters down in through their systems as well. So it's vitally important that these teams, when you know they're producing, that they get the opportunity. And as I say, a rising tide raises all boats. Like, so, you know, as much a helping hand as we can give them, they should be done, you know.
Yeah, indeed. Well done to all Four Masters. And I think you always have that interesting scenario with your dinner dance. Obviously, there's so much silverware going to Four Masters at the minute. Now you have a full squad of hurlers coming up to get their award. You know, I always think things together very, very special. And, you know, they just change, I suppose, the dynamic of the club as well, that there's so much happening there. The intermediate final, Dara, Buncrana obviously dropping down, Cairn Donna, last year's champions, and he's shown Derby. You know, a highly contested game. There's never a lot in it. A couple of purple patches from both teams, but Buncrana in the end, probably that wee bit extra class and finishing power in particular, Dara.
Yeah, they just seem to kick on in the second half a lot. Like, Cairn put it up brilliantly to them for the whole game, and a Cairn team, I remember speaking to some of the men on that team, and they're saying just how young it is. And I mean, they've shown, like, they got to their first final last year in the intermediate and the Pins, and then they're looking likely to win it again at the half time in this one. But Spunkana did step it up, and they've got a couple of those county men with Jackie Loughlin from that team, and they really did chip on, and they did deserve to win it in the end.
Sean, just on that, you know, 7-6 at half time, Buncrana taking over in that period. You know, a bit like, you know, the senior final in terms of, you know, that purple patch that Burt had, particularly at the start, which again laid a bit of platform to that. But just in this game, did you feel, you know, it looked at times that Cairn Donna should have maybe got an equaliser before, you know, that second score that pushed Buncrana out? There was opportunities there. So I remember about 10 minutes in the second half, there was a brilliant goal opportunity for Cairn, was blazed over the bar. Do you think then at times, no, you got to go for it? You know, goals that there's periods of the game where, particularly in a final, you have to go it. You've seen the goals was the difference in the senior final. It would have been huge in that intermediate.
I think so. I think for Cairn to win that game, they really needed to hit the net, particularly in that second half. You know, I think they were struggling to get a consistent, you know, amount of scores the whole way through the game. So I think they really needed to hit the net to get themselves over the line. But I suppose from Buncrana's point of view, they showed great character, because they would have been big favourites going into this game. And, you know, when the pressure was really on, you know, Cairn Donna coming at them, they really stood up and got over the line. And for them, that's huge. I think, you know, Buncrana probably needed this one more than Cairn Donna. I think it would have been a really tough one for them to take if Cairn Donna had to beat them in this game. So delighted for the likes of Jack and Oisin Grant, and as I say, all the lads down there who really deserve some silverware for all of the efforts they've put in over the last number of years. Like, Buncrana have been a really top side and, you know, should probably be pushing to compete in senior finals, never mind intermediate finals. So that was a very important one for them there at the weekend.
Yeah, and Grant, of course, nephew of the Grants, was involved with Bert. So yeah, that's where the bloodline goes, you know. The Grants will always produce the hurlers, I'll tell you. Just on the intermediate game, Dara, you know, after the goal that Cairn did get at the start of the second half, it put them four up. They were outscored 9-3 by Buncrana. And were we seeing shades, I suppose, of that senior experience that a lot of those players had maybe coming to the fore at that point when the game needed to be won? You know, Buncrana found the range with some great scores.
Yeah, and I think like it probably, don't know if it was nerves or anything because they had the experience from last year, but Karen did, they did have a number of chances to end up getting back into that game and getting level a couple of times. I know they had a couple late chances coming into added time, but they probably should have been level, and it was ones that they would have put over in the first half, I would have said. I don't know what just happened to them, but yeah, the experience came through for Montana anyway. Like, they showed that this was, they've been trying to compete, as Sean was saying, with those the so-called big three, I suppose, and this is probably one of the first times they've had to dig it out and been able to dig it out in one of these games, and they deserve to win it. Yeah.
Hey, and Sean, just on that victory for Bunkrenna, where does that leave them now in terms of, you know, we want obviously as many teams playing senior and being competitive as possible. You know, could this be something that benefits them in terms of, right, they've won a title? It was more realistic for them, obviously, to win a title like this here. You know, it's a big town. There was a lot of work being done there. Are you seeing enough, you know, young players and youth coming through for Bunkrenna that they could come up and challenge for a senior again? Is that possible?
I think that has to be their goal, especially after getting this bit of silverware. Like, when you look back even to the league this year, albeit a lot of the league was played without county players, like, the Bunkrenna were really strong and took a lot of big wins in that there. But they've been trying to drive on for a number of years to make the breakthrough into that county final. And I suppose a lot of the way it's kind of felt for them in those semi-finals is they're up against Satanta a lot of those times, who really caught them on, you know, when they were really going well. And in times, you know, really made it difficult for Satanta, but never really managed to get enough to get over the line against them. So their goal now has to be to drive on and to try and make a county final and from further beyond that, to be honest. Like, they've had enough young players coming through over the last number of years, and there seems to be more coming through over when you look through their underage setups at the minute. So that has to be their goal, is to push on from here and really use this intermediate title as a stepping stone.
Yeah, hopefully. And listen, that's one for another day. Fair play to all at Bunkrenna, and as I say, at Four Masters, I hope you had a good night last night. Well deserved. The senior final, 40th title, the Burtmen upset all the odds. They're completely written off. You know, Ulster champions and county champion Satanta, all conquering Satanta. There didn't seem a lot of hope. Maybe no one outside of Burt gave them much of a chance. You know, people were saying maybe if this went right, that went right. And even then, it seemed like a stretch. But, you know, even down to 14 men, unbelievable stuff by them there to come through. I mean, it was a brilliant occasion. As Sean was saying, it was such a high level of hurling going on out there. It was a fantastic day.
Yeah, and it was a brilliant final. I mean, just as you say, like, it was probably expected that Satanta were going to win it. And even there, the first 15 minutes, like, Burt were 7 going up, I think, after 13, 14 minutes. And Satanta really got going then. They had bombed the net through Josh Connolly, and it was brought back for a free, I think. The ref didn't give it that edge, and I think that kind of maybe affected them a wee bit. But then they did get the goal, and just every time they try to get back into the game, Burt just seemed to get another goal themselves. I suppose maybe I don't know if you'd say there was a bit of fortune in the first one, just the long ball in, but I suppose you need that in the final sometimes. We threw down to 14 men, and I think it went to 2 points in it, but they just battled back again. You got another, like, the third goal was brilliant, and brilliant play from them. Darragon did fantastic for that goal, and just, I mean, when they went down to 14, they looked more like 21 hits at that point. It was just crazy how they rallied, and fully deserving, as you say.
Yeah. It took some heart, Sean, just tactically in the game, Sean. You know, 7-1, as Darragh was saying, Burt came out, and they had to do that. They had to breeze, they had to go after. You know, Sean, particularly in hurling, you can't, like football, we see people sitting back waiting. You got to go for the game, and they did go for it. Now, after that, you've seen a bit of control from Satanta. They were very imposing. They went after, you know, the Burt puck out. You know, they had really Burt camped in, and you thought that they were going to really turn the screw on. So there was a lot of courage showed by Burt in there. A lot of lads, as they were saying after we interviewed them, you know, that's their first championship win. So, you know, there was a lot at stake here for this young team, but they seemed to revel in that pressure that came on them.
100%. And me and you were chatting last week, Brendan, and we were saying, right, what are Burt going to do? And, you know, I was thinking they were definitely going to bring a man back and play a sweeper role, but they went man on man, just went toe to toe with Satanta, albeit, you know, most of the men, the half forward line in particular, worked their way back and worked their socks off and came back on top of their midfield and half forward line with the full forward line chasing back out after it. But really brave from the Burt management. They just decided, right, we're going to go toe-to-toe with Setanta, got their matchups and defence spot on, you know. Albeit when the first ball was thrown in, the ball went inside to Jared Gilmore and two of the Burt defenders got mixed up and Jerry got a handy enough score and you're thinking, okay, right, is this going to be a long day for the Burt defence? But straight away got the grips of it and, you know, Derek Grant tipped a long-range point. And, like, really the whole platform in that first quarter I thought was off puckouts, as you said. Kevin Campbell was going long with most of them, looking direct for Danny Cullen, but Stephen Gillespie was just going up behind him, getting that ball to the ground, and the Burt men were in underneath his feet. And from there, they just kind of hit to the wings, you know, and the two McKinneys got a couple of great scores. You had Brady in there getting a score. I think Keely McDermott got one. Like, so, like, in that period, Burt were really, really clinical with all of their chances, all their shooting, even from angles out in the wing. It was really, really impressive, and the work rate out of that forward line in particular was massive.
Sean, just on that, you know, Kevin Campbell's obviously a brilliant player, ex-teammate of yours. He's filling the role in there, and he's brilliant at in terms of setting up the attack and linking up the defence and starting off attacks from deep. That high ball comes in. It's hard for somebody just to become a goalkeeper. Is it? Do you think it's something that can happen to you because maybe your space, spatial awareness, because, you know, it's a very defined position and a high ball can come in. Maybe you could lose track of it because, you know, he's really an outfield player playing in nets.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose when you look at where, that's another thing we spoke about last week, is how Kevin Campbell's added another layer to the Setanta game from just, you know, getting on the ball and starting attacks. But I suppose the flip side of that is just what you described there. It's hard to learn that position from, you know, a stopping or high balls coming in around the square. And I think that's probably, you know, I think Burt would probably have said, right, you know, we'll lob a couple in here and test that out. And it was a very awkward ball that went in. It was coming in around the 6-yard box. And then Kevin probably gotten caught in between two minds, you know, to stay on the line or to come out. And if he's coming out, he probably has to take ball, man, and everything with him. And probably just get stuck in between. And obviously the ball landed in the net. And that was the score that really settled Burt, because I think Setanta were starting to come back to them at that point. They were 7-1 up. I think it was back to about 7-5. And then that goal pushed that out again, and it was really a massive point for Burt to drive on towards half time.
Yes, indeed. It was a huge moment in the game. There, just a performance, you know, you mentioned Dara Grant's goal. You know, McKinney's performance, Dara, you know, as we were saying, and myself and Sean talking last week about the things would have to go right for Burt, you need all your main men stepping up, which they did. And their conversion rate was unreal, and McKinney's goal and his points, you know, he was really, I mean, particularly that one deep in the game, way out in the left. He was nearly at the halfway line. I mean, it was an absolute monster of a point. You know, talk about a man leading the line, thoroughly deserved as a man of the match.
Yeah, I think most people would agree. It was one of the easiest man of the matches you could ever have to pick. It's like he's just phenomenal. Like, and his free taking was brilliant. Even the goal as well. Like, just he got him in the right position. Team effort first, but it was blocked, and he used everything to get in there and bundled over the line. Just everything he did just seemed to work well. Like, just I suppose, like, you know, with the score, and you, the likes of the County Boys, like Rowan McDermott, I think he got one point maybe, or maybe he didn't get any, and Conor Gatlin got one. But, like, when you had somebody that needed to step up, McKinney did it. And those other two boys did brilliantly outside of that. But just the scoring power of McKinney was brilliant. And then was on the flip side was Setanta. I think they registered about 11 wides. They still had 19 scores on the board, so they'll probably be kicking themselves a wee bit that they did. They might feel they left it behind, especially when they had an advantage and everything. But yeah, just McKinney was brilliant. And just hopefully he can keep that going into the county season next year now. Yeah. And into the intermediate championship too, of course.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, you'll be open about that. Sean, just on that, you know, the 11 wides, there was obviously the couple of situations where potential goals, and, you know, freeze pulled back. I think there was one or two half chances again that we spoke about a bit, like the one for Kieran Donagh, that there maybe was a goal on, there was a point taken. You know, all those things, you know, seemed to go against Setanta on the day. You know, it never seemed like they got into their full groove in the game. Was that down to something that can happen, or was that down to Burt?
I think it was probably a bit of both, to be honest. I think Burt, what they brought and the intensity and the hunger didn't allow Setanta to settle. And then when you're hitting those wides, you know, you really struggle for momentum. And there was a couple of wides in that early period, you know, when Burt were really on top that Setanta had, and they couldn't really get the grips of it. I think they had a goal chance at one point as well, which I think it might have been Dean Harvey's through and went over the bar. Those kind of things, you know, in the last couple of years, Setanta have been burying, and, you know, we give them a sniff at all in the net and it's in, you know. And saying that, Josh McGee got a brilliant goal and finished it one-handed as well. So, yeah. And then I suppose straight away after that, their bird went down and Liam McKinney went through and looked like he was about to bury the ball, and then only for Steve McBride to come out of nowhere and make an absolutely brilliant last-ditch tackle, and then the ball was still scrambled over the line. So I think those things are massive when it comes down to it. I think even the last 5-10 minutes when the game was really in the melting pot, Bert had that 2-3 point lead. You seen, as you mentioned, Liam McKinney stuck on an absolute monster point from the far sideline from his own 65. And that was the difference. And Satanta missed a couple on the other end. They had one of the younger players was coming out with the ball and give away a charge and free. And those little small details, I think, when it was going down the stretch, showed. And that was the difference in Bert getting over the line.
Mm. And Sean, just a word on Dara's goal. You know, the sending off, you were thinking then, right, this is it now, that it's going to turn against Bert. You know, Satanta are going to use their experience and control it. But Dara Grant's goal, you know, and his performance overall, and again, you know, a midfielder, you know, he's probably was the smallest man on the pitch, but he had some heart, and I thought that goal really typified, you know, his performance in the game as well. And that goal was the, I suppose, gave them that thing then to sit and to, you know, be more comfortable in the game. It kind of gave them something to really fight for, Sean, that they knew down to a man, they're probably going to concede more opportunities, but there was a three-pointer. It's going to give us that bit of strength in the scoreboard to defend.
100%. And it's funny, so when I was leaving, one of the lads actually said to me, who would your man of the match been? And I said Dara Grant. I thought he was brilliant from the start. He's got the first point in the day to settle him. And then when they needed that goal at the end, it was brilliantly worked. And I think there was a theme the whole way throughout that second half, in particular with Burnsy's pockets. You know, there's about four or five that Conor Gartland got off out to the wing, you know, really massive ball winner for them in that second half. This was the same down the opposite wing. And I think it was young Aidan McKinney got it pulled on down to Ryan Porter, who was out in front of his man and slipped the perfect ball. He gambled on to net, which was a brilliant one. I think that really made the Bert lads believe what they were doing. I think the last 10 minutes, then it was for them to drive on, you know.
So somebody's coming across there. Somebody's trying to come in on top of us there. Somebody must want to make a point. Hey, we have a couple of our next guests lining up there. If you can hear me here, lads, switch your mics off. We're not finished yet. We're almost there. We're getting foreign stations buttoned in, lads. Hey, I got to just ask you, families down there, Darragh, you know, you look at it particularly, you know, Enda McDermott and the association with the McDermotts and hurling there, you know, Marty McGrath, obviously their manager, you know, taking these lads from underage through, you know, we mentioned obviously Dara there, his brother Fergal involved. In fact, their dad actually took me down hurling to Bert when I was a young fella. I seen me out playing in the garden in Newton. So I've even been down there at times. But listen, there's such a history there, and it's coming through again there. You know, you're never going to keep Bert down too long in terms of, you know, being a second place team now. Not to say, obviously, Satanta will be back next year, but there's certainly a serious team building there again.
Yeah, and I remember seeing the under-21 final. I think it was just around Christmas time last year, maybe in January, and Bert won that as well. And I mean, even at that point, you still had Liam McKinney and Conor Gartland, and there's a couple other boys that played the last day that were in that team. I suppose from speaking to a couple of them during the last week, they were kind of saying that they needed this sort of generation to be coming up, and it's kind of come at a perfect time, because I think they do have a bit of a gap there between maybe the 25 to 30 years old. There's not too many in that bracket, and it's coming through the perfect time for them now, because these lads have stepped up for them like tenfold, and because they've got them back to where they've wanted to be now.
Yeah. They're back as champs, is right. Well, listen, lads, great roundup. I love your backdrops, by the way. Dara here, for anybody just listening to radio, has a Celtic scarf behind him after poor Rangers got done again yesterday. Sorry about that. On the Celts. And Sean, your weights backdrop, I got to find out where you got that. Is that the company you work with there, Sean?
Hi, that's Precision Sports Tech. So I'm sitting on the work laptop here at the minute. So
that's it. Free advertising in Highland now for anybody seeing that.
No, any opportunity going, Brendan.
Right, Jeremy, man. Glad to have you on. You mentioned it, surely. Listen, Sean McVeigh, Dara Bonner, thanks for rounding up them hurling finals from the weekend. I'll be speaking to you again, lads.
Thanks, Brendan.
Cheers, man. Coming up after the break, the one and only John Gilday will be on the show to talk about the fourth round draw of the Senior Football Championship. Is that us back in? Good man. The thumbs is up there. Joe's telling me that was a jingle coming here. We're back in. The time is 1932 here on our 24-hour clock. Always sounds weird saying that. Now we're going to talk Senior Club Championship with John Gilday. John, are you there?
Hi, Bryn. How are you?
John, not too bad, my man. You?
Good. Good. No problems.
You've been rattling that bike in the Mount Errigal there. You're working up a sweat every time I see you.
It wasn't the bike that was rattling, Bryn. It was me.
The knee joints was going.
I would like to say it was the bike, but unfortunately, no. Any rattling that's done is actually my dear old bones at this stage.
Well, listen, I know you've taken a lot of bangs, but my God, you give a lot of them as well. So, I mean, it's probably fair enough. There's probably a lot of boys out there with rattling because of the bangs you give them.
If I was doing it again, Bryn, and I'd advise anybody who's playing senior football, it's much easier to go around people than through people, and I'm suffering for that now.
I get you, lad, I get you. John, listen, the draw was made for the fourth round of the club championship, for heading in there. Potential relegation, of course, pre-quarterfinals, or the top four, we say, go in to the automatic spots there. In the quarters, we have Dunloe, St. Noel's, Neave, Connolly, Rua, Killybegs, Glenfin, Downing, St. Eunan's, Kilcare taking Clonmacnoise, Glenswilly playing McCool's, Ardragh playing Four Masters, and Gidore playing St. Michael's. So, John, you know, basically, I suppose I was texting you earlier today, just come on for a chat about it. You know, we're looking, for me, the most interesting ties in there. Of course, we have two teams on six, you know, Glenswilly and St. Michael's. So Glenswilly at home to McCool's, Gidore at home to St. Michael's would be my interesting two from the upper side of the table. And then I think Killybegs, Glenfin down the lower side is interesting, John. But we'll start with Gidore and St. Michael's first, John. Listen, St. Michael's having a brilliant season so far, as I say, maximum points. And Gidore, after their opening round defeat to Four Masters, have come back strong.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, that's, you mentioned the two big ties to determine whether Glenswilly and St. Michael's will keep their 100% record and go on 8 points and automatically qualify for the quarterfinals. You know, I did Gidore a huge disservice the last time I was on with you, and I said that I expected St. Eunan's to really put a big score on them, because, you know, after the result against Neave Connell, I thought St. Eunan's were going really, really well, and I couldn't see any of the result. And Gidore proved me completely wrong. They came up to O'Donnell Park and really set their stall out and put in a really, really big performance. You know, and put themselves right back in the conversation as regards championship again. St. Michael's have been going great. I would suggest, maybe unlike maybe St. Eunan's and Kilcare and Neave Connell and Gidore, you know, they've avoided what would be classified as the big guns so far. Last week was a big, big game for them against Dunloe, and they came out the right side of it. So it'll be very interesting, you know, down in Marygallen. Gidore will be expecting, you know, that they'll turn St. Michael's over, but St. Michael's will be going down there with no fear, and obviously it's a big local derby as well. So all to play for down there, big permutations as regards both sides. I suspect, you know, that, you know, you could end up with St. Michael's on 8 points, or you could end up St. Michael's along with Gidore on 6 points, along with a host of other teams. So it's going to lend itself to a very exciting last round of the championship. And I know people are, you know, talking about the championship, and there's nearly every team goes through to some form of quarterfinal or a preliminary at the end of it. But there's a lot of big games down for decision to determine the pecking order, both the top end and at the bottom end.
Indeed, John, of course, yeah. And of course, as you're saying there, 16 teams, so top four are automatically in the quarterfinals. The next eight play off in a prelim to get into that quarterfinals, and then the bottom four play each other off in like a semi-final and a final to see who drops down to the championship. And as you're saying there, along with St. Michael's, Glenswilly have had a brilliant season so far. And again, you know, another rising power, McCool's. I know the last day out, John missing forward players, and that's vital. Obviously, you have your main men in the team, and obviously, in many ways, you know, Farrah one side, Michael Murphy and the other, if he's good to go. That's what it's all about, John. You need your key men in these games, but it's certainly set up for a fascinating encounter between Glenswilly and McCool's.
Yeah, and I suppose looking at McCool's, I went to the McCool's Neave Connell game last weekend, or the weekend before last, and I was, you know, ultimately, I was disappointed in McCool's because they were in the game for up until half time. They missed a lot of chances. If, you know, Joel Bradley-Walsh and Farrah were playing, you would suspect that they would have been really in the hunt. And then you know yourself what happens. Your goal goes in and you go from 3 points down to 6 points down and the game runs away from you. And there's no better team than Niamh Conlon driving the nail home. So they will be disappointed with that performance. They'll need everybody they can possibly get back for that Glenswally game, because ultimately Glenswally are going well. Glenswally are at home. They had a big result against Four Masters. They were basically 7 points down and managed to turn it around. Michael Murphy's doing what Michael Murphy has done for the last 15 years. And he's a menace and a danger around the edge of the square, and he's proven that in every championship game so far. Maybe, you know, they've coasted through to a certain extent. They've missed a lot of the bigger, so-called bigger teams in the championship. This should be a better test for them, but it will be very much dependent on what side that McCool's can put out, because ultimately, if they don't have their big guns playing, Glenswally probably will have too much for them. Mm. And then they'll go through to the as eight points and sit through to the quarter final. But Glenswally are building a lot of good young players mixed in with some of the older lads, you know, Copper and Michael. And they're growing. They're those young under 21 and minor teams coming through. So they'll fancy themselves. And then obviously with Gary McDade at the helm, you know, they'll not fear anybody. So they're definitely a team to watch going forward in the championship. They'll fancy their chances against anybody.
Yes, indeed. So Glenswally on six and Michaels on six. After that, you know, your Four Masters and Dunans, Niamh Conlon, Kilcare, Dunloe, Gidor and McCool's. Now, of them, most of them probably from their fixtures would be expected to get to six. McCool's, I suppose, at the end, that's the interesting one there with Glenswally. So, you know, with so many teams potentially in that zone, you know, around the 6 point mark there, John, it's going to come down to scoring averages, you know. So if teams are getting the better sides, they're going to have to push on at the weekend and try and see if they can make it straight into that quarter final berth.
Yeah, and, you know, ultimately that's what makes it exciting. You could look at the St. Michael's situation where they're second in the table and a result doesn't go their way. Their scoring difference is not huge. Like, it's only plus 15, whereas if you look at Niamh Conlon, who are 2 points behind, assuming they beat Evreux, they're plus 27 and going on from there. You have Four Masters on plus 17 and you have St. Unans on plus 14. So, you know, St. Unans have away tie against Downings. I would imagine they'll be aiming at trying to put up a big score there. With all due respect to Downings, you know, there's a difference in class at this point in time. So there's going to be a lot of calculators out by the end of the day on Sunday to figure out who's where. And then also that's going to leave, you know, one or two of the so-called big guns potentially in the preliminary quarterfinals. And then that's going to lead to very, very exciting quarterfinals, because you could have a situation where one or two of the big guns are meeting in the quarterfinal and it opens up completely. And by the flip side of that, you could have a situation where Glenswally top the table, they may draw one of the big guns in the quarterfinal, and that puts them under real pressure. So all sorts of permutations going into the weekend, but it lends itself to a very exciting weekend. You would expect, you know, the way the fixtures are set, Glenswally will fancy their chances, Gidor will fancy their chances, Niamh Conlon at home will fancy their chances, obviously St. Unans will fancy their chances. Then you get to the nitty-gritty on the lower side of the equation, where, you know, Ardragh are playing Four Masters again, a local derby. Killybegs, Glenfiln, a huge game for both those teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dunloe, St. Nolls, Dunloe would, you know, fancy their chances to go through into the quarterfinals outright, or preliminary quarterfinals at the very least. Mm. And then Kilcare will obviously fancy their chances against Clonmacnoise, who have yet to get any points on the board. So some very big fixtures, some interesting games. And results-wise, as I said, it'll be interesting on Sunday evening to see who's where at the end of it all.
Yeah, really looking forward to it, John. Listen, I agree. Yeah, I think that Killybegs one, but obviously they beat St. Noel's at the weekend in a rearranged fixture. And now, as you're saying, they have that home tie with Glenfinn that aren't going too well. They're still to get off the mark along with Clonmacnoise and St. Noel's. So Killybegs on two are Ardragh, Éireann and Downing. So they'll be looking to avoid getting pulled into that four-team relegation playoff as well and stabilise in the senior championship. So as you're saying, John, a lot to play for. Looking forward to it. Now, I seem to be whizzing around all the grounds, keeping everybody updated over the weekend, John. So we look forward to that. And myself and yourself will speak more about the championship when we get into the knockout stages. All right, sir?
All right, no problem.
Top man. Top man. John Gilday there. Of course, Niamh Conlon, Donegal. Star, legend that he was, indeed. And always great to have him on the show. And now the final segment. Last but by no means least, the one and only Michael McMullen is coming on. Every time he's on, he educates us all, and we're going to talk Derry and Tyrone management, and also the Monument management up for grabs now as well. Who wants it? Who's mad enough to take it? He's also going to give us a few words on the Derry club scene as well. We're going to speak to him after the break. Yes, welcome back. Now we have Michael McMullen on the magic of Zoom. I can see here. Now, that's a great backdrop now. Headquarters, I like it. Michael, how's things?
All's good, Brenton. Just trying to keep in tune with Croke Park. We make you back there someday, so we'll see.
Yeah. Oh, listen, hey, I would very much think that's a possibility. Yeah, yeah. Maybe you wouldn't really want a league final, though. You're on a championship, right?
League finals, don't mention the war. Us and Mayo.
Sorry, I shouldn't
have mentioned that. We're at the
same,
Brenton.
I shouldn't have mentioned that. Listen, on about getting back there, where's it at here, Michael? Obviously, we're hearing the rumours. Have you ever seen anything like WhatsApp rumours about this Derry squad and everything that goes with it, management, etc.? But after Mickey Hart, 1 year out of three, he's gone. You know, we're hearing different things about a possible return for Rory Gallagher, Ryan McCluskey, our own Mark McHugh was mentioned in it as well, you know, and of course Malachy O'Rourke gets mentioned by everyone. Conaoth Gilligan, is there any update on all this stuff that's going on, Mal, or is it hard to tell?
There's actually nothing, Brenton, and that's probably the most worrying thing. And it used to be the most talked about thing in Ireland was the weather, but now before anybody talks about the weather, they say, well, what about the manager? And that's the way it is at the moment. It's all unknown. I suppose the two names, you mentioned them there, Rory Gallagher, obviously heavily linked with a return, and then Malachy O'Rourke. And as Ciara O'Kane had sort of reported last week, I think it was, that he allowed Errol Kearn to let his name go forward for the Tyrone vacancy. So
yeah,
it's hard to see him not throwing his hat in there. And you'd imagine it'd be very difficult for Tyrone not to welcome them unless there's other proposals, but surely he would be the man they're looking for. And then obviously a lot of talk about Rory Gallagher, but you know, very much mixed feelings in the county about, you know, about him coming back or not. So it's really stalemate, Brenton. It really is. And as a Derry man, you're sort of thinking back to, I remember Martin McHugh having a conversation. It was a fairly passionate conversation with Oisin after Donegal got the hammer last year about they were in a bad place. And do you know what? Derry's probably in that similar place now. When Donegal were in that place last year, Brendan, you know, not all the players had committed and there was injuries and different things. But in Derry, we certainly have a decent group of players. But the unfortunate thing is we don't have a manager. And to add to that, Brendan, it's not as if you're trying to build for 2 or 3 years' time. I think what Armagh have proven is that this year and next year, there's 6 or 7 teams who feel if they put their hand up, get a decent run of 3 or 4 games of good form, that they can win the big boy. Yeah. And Derry are in that conversation. And that's why, and like when I'm going around club grounds at games or bumping into people at the shop, there's just that frustration of, We need this sorted, and we need it sorted now. And that's where it is, Brenton. There's no real developments other than, I suppose, the lazy rumours.
But yeah.
A well-founded source told me that there's going to be no word for a while. That's what I'm hearing, no word for a while.
There you go. There's an Irish statement now, no word for a while. Just leave it at that. Do you know what, man? I was just thinking, the way Rory Gallagher took the team, you know, he took them Division 3, he was able to mould them. And they became such a force in his complete shaping of them. You know, you took Mickey Hart coming in there trying to get up the range. I know Mina had it in that in-between phase and probably just kept parity. But is it a very different proposition now that type of man that come in there just to take over and take control? There's very few of those type players out there. Obviously, Malachy O'Rourke automatically you would think is one, but it looks like he's going to go to their Tyrone job. Is it a thing where you'd nearly need to create a management team, you know? You know, we spoke about Conaoth, you know, likes of, you know, Ronan Devlin's doing well up with Carrigan there back-to-back. You know, I know Michael Aaron was in before the 2 successful minor stints in that. Do you think it's possible, if you look at the Armagh template around the management team that they build, is it something like that Derry would need, really? Because that one man that's going to come in and just be the man, is there such a thing out there now, Mal, that it's going to take such an effort? Would it take a lot of... a lot of good minds to Giller to really, I suppose, get the belief back in this Derry squad. Because once they've been at that top level, everything must at least get to there, I think, to get them back on the right track.
That's it. Like, I watched the All-Ireland semi-final loss to Kerry very narrowly, and it was like watching bullseye, and here's what you could have won.
Yeah.
Like, they were so, so close. And you talked about Rory. Like, Rory came in, was absolutely fantastic, and literally grabbed the thing by the scruff of the neck and pulled it up and got all the people in the right places and got Derry believing, and it was brilliant. But those people are hard to find. Mm. Like, there's not many Jim McGuinnesses or Kieran McGinnies about, or obviously Jim Gavin, people in their own county. And I think Derry's at the stage now where they're at the stab in the dark position. And you hit the nail on the head there. Funny, me and a friend of mine, we go walking on a Monday, and the last couple of walks, we've come up with the same management team. Mickey Moore and Conleth Gilligan and whatever few men they feel they need to, you know, to do the various jobs, you know, strength and conditioning, goalkeeping coach, whatever. But that's probably where Derry need to go to now.
Is Mickey Moore an option?
Those two men would be interested, but yeah, that's where they need to go.
I've been talking to Mickey a bit lately, actually, and, you know, he's one of, as you know, one of the best people you could meet, you know, in the game. It was a pleasure playing under him. Do you think it's something at this time that would interest him? I just think there's big demands on it now in terms of going back in there. It certainly would be a management team, I think, as a Derry player, I would love to see.
I think that's what our discussion was on our Monday night walking brainstorming sessions, but it was like, you know, Mickey's there, he's experienced, he's got a track record, he's won an All-Ireland club. Conleth Gilligan, similar, and been involved. Obviously, Armagh people would shoot me at this stage, but, you know, from an Armagh point of view, he went in there and he was a modern thinker in the middle of it as well. And then building the people around them, because even what they did in Armagh, you know, they put the various pieces in around them, like in Donegal, Luke Bart came in, he's got a role. You know, Colm Anthony's got a role. That's the way it needs to go. And, you know, I think that's where Derry's going to have to go, because you could go to a stab in the dark, somebody from another county that doesn't really know anything about Derry.
Yes.
But, you know, it's a real, real worry, Brent. And I have to admit, as a Derry man, I'm worried, because we've got a group of players that can challenge them. And it needs to be sorted sooner rather than later for me.
Yeah, yeah. The next management is huge. I think the next appointment... Switching our attention across to Tyrone, well, obviously, you know, the lads, you know, had a 3-year term there. They've stepped down. Fergal obviously had a bit of health scare himself, and Adura stepped down. So that void there, you know, again, no more than Derry, serious underage talent, you know, 2 under-20s his last 3 seasons, and really, you know, obviously always producing a high level of footballer. And they're kind of sitting now, you're just thinking that it looks like, when you look at it, it could be a perfect fit for Malaghy. You mentioned there the fact, obviously, he's living in Ballygolly. He's Errol Kieran club now. Would that be another factor and a plus for Drone, the fact that, listen, that's where he's set down the, you know, the roots now, in terms of, you know, you want to help out where you live, and it would be big for him to have success with Drone living where he's living?
It would be, and, like, he's played for Errol, as far as I'm aware, he managed him as well, Brent, I'm really sure, And like you said it there, like the under 20 success recently, but even they'd won, you know, in the last decade, they won 3 of them. And that first one, a core of them came through to win Sam in 2021. And they're always the team, as you know, in Donegal as well, and same in Derry, Tyrone were the underage super power to catch. And then also their school structures are very, very good. And it's a massive, massive county, Brenton. You know, they have so many clubs. Like Paul Donaghy, he's not even in the panel. Like, what would Donegal or Derry do for a Paul Donaghy up there? You know, so they have so much to pick from. And Malachy will know that. And I think it would be a good fit for him. You know, definitely would be. And, like, he just has to, I don't know, is it? He's very, very close to Gervahi from the logistics of going to training point of view. And then, I suppose, it's a case of, does Ryan Porter come in with him? You know, who's his management team? But I think the Tyrone players would be over the moon if
definitely, yeah,
if Malachy stepped in. And I suppose a quick word on Brian Doher and Fergal Logan, who have stepped away. I don't think they owe Tyrone anything from a playing point of view. They coached the under-20s. They won Sam. They were warriors. And I think Tyrone people owe them a lot of credit.
Yes, indeed. Two fine men, is right. And two busy men as well. They're both very, very successful in their work life as well. It's, you know, some time to put in now. Man, if you look at it, it's a full-time job. And obviously, Maggie's retired now as well. So all those things are look like they could be fitting into place. Now, listen, a few minutes left. The Derry Championship, how's it heating up there? You know, Stark Neil and Glenn, we're always keeping an eye out for. You know, Newbridge coming good there as well. And Mara Felt. And is it going to come down to the big side again this year? How's it looking? Mal just froze on us there. He's froze, you know. That can happen at Crow Park. You can freeze. That's what happened to him. Crow Park can do that to you, Joe. I'll say in 100. It might have happened to me a few times. You better watch what you say there. You're back, Mal. No, Mal, I was just saying about the... You've caught a few Derry Championship games there. We're down to the last couple of minutes, Mal. How's it shaping up in there?
Yeah, it's quarterfinals. Sorry, there's 4 out of 6 going to the quarterfinals from each group, and nobody gets knocked out yet. Slapdale and Newbridge have won all their games. Maher Felt and Glenn, who would be sort of front runners as well, obviously have only lost a game. Lavey, who have only won one game, have sort of impressed me by the way they've been playing. They've loads and loads of pace. And Glenn, as they've done in the past few years, Brenton, they've always timed the run well. I think outside of Cathal Mulholland, who is away travelling, I think everybody's available. Danny Tallon didn't play last night against Swatter, but they've everybody back, and they have a title there to defend. 4 in a row's only been done 3 times, Balahi and Slapneil, so that's a massive target for them. And Slapneil themselves have been going pretty well under Mark Dorn. He has them in good shape with a few young lads freshening it up. So probably 5 teams in the mix, and probably Glenn, Slapneil, Maher Felt, maybe the 3 out of 5 that's well enough placed. But Newbridge, a lot of young talent as well. So group stages, Brenton, a wee bit like in Donegal, where you'll know yourself with Unions being involved. There's a lot of playing, but you don't really know an awful lot just yet. So,
well, listen, we're at the exact same phase. We're waiting for this knockout now. We're looking forward to it. I want to get a proper chat to you some evening about that. We're just running a wee bit low of time. We had the big hurling finals here at the weekend, so we had to give them that, had to give them their place on the show. Well, listen, as ever, great to talk to you. I'll be catching up with you later. Good, you keep an eye on things. Chat to you soon. That's Michael McMullen there, as ever, from Gaelic Life, rounding up the scene in Tyrone and Derry. And of course, I want to thank all my guests this evening, Joe Dex, for producing. I'll speak to you next week.